Okay, so we've got Des on the phone now, and Des has got a very sad story about how people who have paid into the system all their lives in the hope that their national insurance and tax is there for when they maybe need a little bit of help. So, Des, we're going to talk about your late wife, Barbara. Now, my understanding is she'd worked for 40 years as a teacher, a very responsible and respectable job. All those years she'd paid into the national insurance and tax system, which it's supposed to look after us if something goes wrong. So shortly after retiring, and before that you had a very good life, she wasn't ill of anything, and before that you used to go on holidays 2 or 3 times a year, and you had a very nice lifestyle, both of you worked hard. Now, shortly after she retired, she began getting ill, so I'd like you to tell us about that, please.
Yeah, a couple of years after she retired, we noticed that her mobility, her ability to get about, her ability to walk, was beginning to deteriorate. We didn't realise at the time, but we eventually got diagnosed that she had underlying osteoarthritis. She had psoriatic arthritis, which meant that her joints flared up, and psoriasis developed on the joint of her hands and knees, etc. And bit by bit, her world closed down in that we couldn't go out very often. And when she did, she had to use a wheelie thing to push, etc. Eventually, she couldn't drive the car. So eventually, she became basically housebound. And then whilst we tried to make the best as we could, she then fell one, well, she'd fallen a couple of times in the past, which hadn't helped the exacerbation of the arthritis. But then in October 2020, after she decided that she couldn't go upstairs to bed, so she had to sleep downstairs in the dining area. And she fell going to bed one night, and she was taken into hospital, and she didn't come home again until for 2 years, nearly 2 years.
So this would be during lockdown?
Yes. And she, because she had some other underlying conditions, we had to, we isolated, and we were very, very careful that she didn't, she had a low immunity system. So we were very careful that we did everything that we was told to do during the lockdown. And then she went into hospital, and within about, after the fall, and within about 7 to 10 days of going into hospital, she got COVID.
So she could only have caught it in there, really, I suppose.
Yes, yes, that's what we thought, yeah. She was very ill. We thought we were going to lose her, but she was determined not to succumb to it. So, and she pulled around and she rallied.
So when she came home after 2 years, and as you know, you think the safest place not to catch COVID would be hospital. You'd assume that, but obviously, So when she came home, how did she get about? She hadn't obviously regained the mobility or her health. So what was her health situation when she eventually came home after 2 years away?
Well, if I can give you some background, Denise, after she'd been in hospital for about a couple of months, in the new year of 2021, she was moved to a rehab centre. And at the rehab centre, they tried to get her up and mobile again and try and get her back to some sort of way that she could walk or have a normal life. Unfortunately, when she fell, she developed a hematoma on her leg, and that had to be attended to. And what actually happened was that every time she tried to get up and walk and be rehabbed, the leg bled. So eventually they gave up trying to get her to walk again because they thought it wasn't going to work because this was a permanent injury that was always going to occur every time she tried to walk. So they then decided that she would need to stay. She was probably going to have to go to a care home where they would obviously look after her while they decided how to progress, how she goes forward living basically on a day-to-day basis. They came and they saw where we lived, and they decided the house wasn't big enough, and they advised us that we had to probably get an extension to build to the house to get her home from care to home. So that took another 12 months. So she eventually came home in the summer of 2022, after we had paid out of our own pockets for the extension and everything to do with the extension. After that, when she came home, she was basically confined to the extension in a hospital bed that was provided by social services. She had a couple of occupational therapists come in to try and get her to walk and to try, but it was obvious that she couldn't. All this time, she was catheter because she couldn't get to the toilet, so she was on a catheter. We had to pay for carers to come in the morning and to bathe her and wash her and change her bedding, etc., etc. And during the day, I looked after the rest of her needs, like her medication and her and feeding her and toileting her.
But we have to go back to the point that you had to actually give up your job to do this.
Yes, I mean, I was working, but by 2015, 2017, it was quite clear that Barbara needed... first of all, I tried to go part-time, and I was allowed to go part-time, but eventually it was quite clear that I would have to give up full-time work and actually be around the house on a daily basis to ensure that she could get to the, when she was still a little bit mobile before she fell, that she could get to the toilet with some assistance, etc., etc.
So where do we draw the line between when she initially came out of hospital? You were saying she was having therapy in the hope of getting the back walk, you know, have some mobility at least. So was that free, but then other aspects were not free? Is it once she was sort of discharged, once she realised she wasn't going to make a recovery, is that when you had to become the full-time carer?
Yes, basically, yes. Carers only came in to wash her in the morning and change the bedding. She wouldn't let me do that. She wanted female carers to do that, so they came in and did that. But the rest of the day and days after and day after that, after the carers had been in and out, I was responsible for everything from emptying her catheter bag, giving her medication. I was toileting her when she had to bowel movement, and do running around, doing all the shopping, etc., etc.
So when you say that they recommended that you have to build an extra extension because you needed more room, what if you hadn't had the money? Would the alternative have been to put her in a care home permanently?
That's a $64,000 question, Denise. We probably would have had, eventually, probably our council would have been lobbied by social, because she had a social worker by this time, the council would have been lobbied to try and get the extension built by the council, but that would have taken a lot longer, and I'm not sure. It's something that we never actually investigated because we had the money. And I mean, I always remember, it's a very interesting story. I remember when I was on the bus and I got a call from the local council, and I got a call to say they wanted to see my financial records because we'd applied for planning permission for an extension. And I said, what do you want to see my records for? They said, well, you're the partner, you're her husband's stroke partner. I said, yes. I said, but Barbara has her own money, and Barbara's paying for this extension. I'm helping out, but Barbara's paying for this extension. So you need to speak to Barbara about her finances, etc. At which point, Barbara said, well, we're not getting involved in that. I'm not having people crawling all over my finances to find out what I've got and what I've not got. We'll just go ahead and do it. So the council were quite prepared. The council were thinking, I don't know what they were thinking by asking that question, to be honest, Denise, but I've heard stories of where people who have needed to get an extension built and haven't had the financial resources to do it and have had to rely on the local authority. The building of that extension, it's taken a long, long time for that extension to get built. And of course, during that time, that person has had to stay in that care home all those years.
So in some ways, it's like an emotional blackmail. Nobody's going to sit there and watch their partner However well run the care home is, nobody is going to sit there if they've got money in the bank and see their partner living, you know, a place away from home. So really, we're always, once you knew you had the money, we're always going to take responsibility and the extension. But just a couple of questions. Firstly, you mentioned that you had to give up your job. So when you gave up your job, now let's go back to the start, and you've both paid into the system, you've owed tax and insurance, and perhaps you felt that you would, in the crisis that you found yourself, there would be some help available. So when you notified whoever it is you notified that you had to give up your job, therefore you were X amount of money down per week, was anything available to help you? Because really, you could say that it wasn't your job, it was the council or the government to look after her. So what was the situation regarding any...
Well, yes, because having given up and having no income, I hadn't yet had my pensions, because I was under the age for claiming the pensions, right? So I was advised by a mutual friend of ours who was a welfare rights officer, and that person said that I would be able to claim carer's allowance. So I applied for carer's allowance, and I got carer's allowance for looking after Barbara, because they understood that as part of Barbara's immobility, she was receiving personal independence payments. So because I was part of that sort of like helping her, I was entitled to. So I went from earning like £400 and £500 a week down to earning £80 a week, 85, you know, on carer's allowance, and we managed to get through for the 2 years until I was able to claim my state pension and my works pension. We managed to, for those 2 years, and then when I have claimed my pensions, both state and works, they took carer's allowance off me, because then I was earning more. I had more money coming in than I was entitled to for carer's allowance.